Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Tennessee, chapter 12. Perfect society for spiritual persons.
Of the householder.
Supramnatam. Describe. Even of the person in the renounced order.
Guru
Vritti
Vikalpena. To
follow the orders of the spiritual master.
Of the householder.
Ritu
Gamina.
Accepting sex only during the period.
Favorable for procreation.
Translation.
All the rules and regulations apply equally to the householder and the sannyasi, the member of the renounced order of life. The grihastha, however, is given permission by the spiritual master to indulge in sex during the period favorable for procreation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is sometimes misunderstood that a grihastha, a householder, is permitted to indulge in sex at any time. This is a wrong conception of grihastha life. In spiritual life, whether one is grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, or brahmachari, everyone is under the control of the spiritual master. For brahmacharis and sannyasis, there are strong restrictions on sexual indulgence. Similarly, there are strong restrictions for grihasthas. Grihasthas should indulge in sex life only in accordance with the order of the guru. Therefore, it is mentioned here that one must follow the orders of the spiritual master, Guru Vrittir Vikalpena. When the spiritual master orders, the grihastha may accept sex life. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, verse 11. Dharma virudo bhuteshu kamosmi. Indulgence in sex life without disobedience to the religious rules and regulations constitutes a religious principle. The grihastha is allowed to indulge in sex life during the period favorable for procreation and in accordance with the spiritual master's order. If the spiritual master's orders allow a grihastha to engage in sex life at a particular time, then the grihastha may do so. Otherwise, if the spiritual master orders against it, the grihastha should abstain. The grihastha must obtain permission from the spiritual master to observe the ritualistic ceremony of Garbhadhan Samskar. Then he may approach his wife to beget children, otherwise not. A Brahmin generally remains a brahmachari throughout his entire life. But although some Brahmins become grihasthas and indulge in sex life, they do so under the complete control of the spiritual master. The kshatriya is allowed to marry more than one wife, but this also must be in accordance with the instructions of the spiritual master. It is not that because one is a grihastha, he may marry as many times as he likes and indulge in sex life as he likes. This is not spiritual life. In spiritual life, one must conduct one's whole life under the guidance of the Guru. Only one who executes his spiritual life under the direction of the spiritual master can achieve the mercy of Krishna. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasada. If one desires to advance in spiritual life, but he acts whimsically, not following the orders of the spiritual master, he has no shelter. Yasya prasada nagati kutoki. Without the spiritual master's order, even the grihastha should not indulge in sex life. Etat sarvam grihastasya samam natam yatirapi guru vrityeva kalpena grihastasya artigamina. All the rules and regulations apply equally to the householder and the sannyasi, the member of the renounced order of life. The grihastha, however, is given permission by the spiritual master to indulge in sex during the period favorable for procreation.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Brahma Chananda Shri Vedanta Shri Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So here, this chapter is describing, Narada Muni is describing the duties, responsibilities, and different considerations and principles to do with the four ashrams. Previously there was discussion about the varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra. So now there's discussion about the four ashrams, the Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. I suspect we shouldn't put these sheets on the ground. I mean, they are Shastra after all. But you can just hand them in one situation. Yes, so the Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasi, there are principles. There are principles which regulate their activities, even quite minutely, actually, both broadly in terms of general principle and in terms of detail, and even minute detail. Here, of course, particularly in terms of the previous verse, or even previous few verses, the particular consideration being discussed and applied or understood in terms of the different ashrams is that of the relationship between male and female, which certainly is a very important consideration to be understood clearly, and those different considerations and the rules and regulations in that regard should be adhered to carefully, because we've already heard in the fifth canto, is described there in the fifth canto, how the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this principle, on the basis of this attraction, one becomes attached, attracted and attached
to one's body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So, a very important understanding, that this material world is full of so many things, and they all have some potential for attracting us and degrading us down onto the material platform and down even when there's practically no limit, really, if one becomes attached to almost anything. Maharaj Bharat became attached to a deer. So, all these things, they have certain capacity, and we have the certain tendency to be susceptible to that capacity for attracting and degrading the conditioned soul out of spiritual life, away from spiritual life, into material life, and down onto lower and lower levels on the material platform and in this faith. One's spiritual life, it can be lost completely. It can be completely lost. And everything can be lost, practically. And when one can simply just become totally bewildered and totally fallen and just go on in the cycle of samsara indefinitely. And also everything in this material world has that type of capacity, and we have the propensity to become attracted to almost anything, even insignificant things or things which we might not think are really worth worrying about. But some potential is there and some capacity is there on our parts. But of all those things, so many things within this material world, then the attraction too. The attraction between the sexes. This is the number one. This is the number one attraction. And in terms of our capacities for becoming deviated, this is our number one capacity. And it applies on all levels, meaning, or at all stages practically. Therefore, it's ordered also in Srimad Bhagavatam that one should never be alone, even with one's mother, or sister, or daughter. Sometimes if people hear that, they may think this is too extreme, but actually, this is there. Because that attraction, the propensity for that to become affected by that, is just, it is the basic principle, it's just so predominant. And one should not make the mistake of underestimating it. So here also there have been some strong verses. You read 2 days ago, I assume. Woman is compared to fire. Man is compared to a butter pot. And of course, in a certain sense, it applies vice versa. So statements like this are here. And in different parts of the Bhagavatam, different parts of our scriptures, you'll find statements of this nature, or strong statements like this. So here then, in this verse under discussion today, Narada Muni is making the point that all of the ashrams, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, all these ashrams, the principles in regard to sex life apply, ultimately they apply equally. It is not just that, for example, here the sannyasi is mentioned and the grihastha is mentioned. Sannyasi, of course, is typically the most restricted from sex life, and grihastha is the most permitted as far as sex life is concerned. But here, Narada Muni is saying that
the Grihastas and the Yatis, Yate Api, even the Sannyasis. That Etat Saranam, all this is, all these considerations are also equally applied Guru Vritti Vikalpena in terms of the order of the spiritual master. It is not, in other words, it is not that the Grihastha can say that, oh, you have certain great restrictions placed by the spiritual master, but I have certain dispensation given by the spiritual master. No. Both of them are controlled in the same way. Both of them are controlled in the same way, at least according to this statement here. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport is very emphatically presenting very strongly this idea. In fact, in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, some of you may be aware, there has been some debate amongst some certain quarters of the membership of our movement as to what really this principle of illicit sex, like what it really means, particularly in general, but particularly in regard to the householders. And what were Srila Prabhupada's real intentions, and what are the real proper standards of Dharma like this in regards to sex life for householders? And of course, the contention was, coming from those who were really questioning, and, well, shall we say, just really questioning certain ideas which have generally been held for quite some time, the idea was that perhaps this illicit sex life regulation, no illicit sex life regulation, perhaps Srila Prabhupada's intention, if we really analyze, and the intention of Shastra and so on, if we really analyze, is not to be as restrictive as has been held. Specifically, that means that it has been held within this movement, and of course, on the basis, at least the idea was, on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's instructions and the general orientation of Shastra, that Grihastha couples could engage in sex life once in a month when the wife was at her most fertile time, and in this way it is very clearly an act of procreation and is not some other thing, just particularly or specifically for the sake of some pleasure or something along those lines, some other sort of exchange between the husband and wife. So this idea was being advocated or suggested by certain people. So actually, the matter came to the GBC body this year. Please, please make a resolution, make some decision. What does this no illicit sex life regulation that we have, one of the four regulative principles, what does it actually mean? So in considering and deciding on this matter, the GBC body referred, if my memory serves me correctly, to this specific verse and purport of, from Srimad Bhagavatam and purport by Srila Prabhupada, where these different statements are there. Guru Vrittiya Vikalpena, according to the Guru Vritti, Vikalpena, the opinion and the judgment, the order of the spiritual master. And we can see in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is actually being very specific about it, that actually the disciple, Grihastha disciple, should approach the spiritual master in a very direct sense and actually ask, and actually get his specific permission, not just in some very broad or general sense even, like that very broad sense that when the wife is in her fertile time, then it may be, then it is okay. But actually specifically, yes. And grihastas yartu gamina, ritu gamina. Ritu means season. So a certain specific period in which certain conditions are prevailing. So therefore, we always know when it is summer, winter. We know because it is just certain specific physical conditions are prevailing, and it is not a matter of any other consideration. It is very straightforward physical condition of existence. So ritu gamina in this context means that specific favorable time in terms of the procreative capacities of the wife. So that is there. That is just in terms of certain biological functions. It is not a matter of any other considerations. It is very straightforward matter of certain physical conditions. So, like this, and as the sannyasi and other ashrams also, it applies, of course, to all, but most specifically, obviously, it applies to the sannyasis who have formally taken vows in other cases, like the brahmachari. There's certainly some flexibility that at a certain point, if it is felt that it is most suitable for his ongoing development in Krishna consciousness, then he can engage, he can become a householder, and then this will not be considered dishonorable or improper at all, but rather it will be considered proper and progressive in terms of moving on and maturing in Krishna consciousness. But for the sannyasi has accepted those formal vows of never again becoming involved in household life or any type of intimate relationship, close relationship with the opposite sex. This is really, in a sense, the basis, actually, of sannyas life, of that the concept of sannyas, that renunciation in terms of relationship with the opposite sex, and that is irrevocable. It is not that later the sannyasi, at least the principle is, that it is not that later the sannyasi can reconsider and that then it would be considered fine, as it certainly is for the brahmachari. And of course the vanaprastha, although he may not engage in sex life, but at least association with the wife is certainly allowed, and even close and friendly association like that with the wife. So here, in order to drive home this point as strongly as reasonably possible, Srila Narada Muni is referring to the sannyasis. That just as the sannyasis are under strict rules and regulations when it comes to sex life, so no less the grihasthas are under strict rules and regulations when it comes to sex life. No less. They cannot just say that, oh, we have our license for sense enjoyment, this type of idea, therefore we are in very much a different position and in that way we are very free. And no, it's not like that. And Srila Prabhupada is making that point very clear. Because we should understand, it is practically one of the first considerations in Krishna consciousness. Ado gurvashraya,
Filarupa Goswami puts it this way in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. First, accept the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. First. Not that there'll be other things, and then you also do that, but adam gurvashraya. First of all, we accept the shelter of the spiritual master, and then we take instruction from him, we execute his orders, and we serve him like this. These are the first principles. And then other things develop. But they are always in the context of these basic principles. They're never independent. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes this point that only one who executes his spiritual life in the broadest sense under the direction of the spiritual master can achieve the mercy of Krishna. If one desires to advance in spiritual life but he acts whimsically, not following the orders of the spiritual master, he has no shelter. This applies under all circumstances, in all places, at all times. It is not that it becomes optional or of less importance at any time. No, that will never be there. So therefore that principle reaches into the life of the devotee, into every, you could say, in every nook and corner, every little aspect. It is always there as the prime rule, predominating rule amongst all rules, the direction and shelter of the spiritual master under all circumstances, and even into this very intimate area of the relationship between husband and wife, even in terms of their sexual relationship and likeness. Yes, so this is a very important principle in general. So important that it even reaches into this area. Some people, of course, even some Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and perhaps this is where the debate arose from or the doubt arose from about the meaning of that great limited principle. Some of them, they just don't bother. When it comes to householders, they don't bother. That's their problem, basically. I mean, the householder's problem. But according to what Srila Prabhupada says here, little do they know that it's their problem also. And, yes. So when these principles are applied nicely, under the clear direction of the spiritual master, even this principle of when to conceive a child, then not only is this permissible, not only is this allowed for the bona fide householders, but Srila Prabhupada here quotes Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, dharma virudo bhuteshu kamosmi. Yes, that when applied in terms of dharma properly, then that sex desire, kama, that sex desire, Krishna says, kama asmi, kamosmi. That actually, not only is it bona fide, acceptable, and a religious principle, but he says that this is me. I am manifest in this activity. I'm actually there. So in that sense, it is not just procreation. It is certainly not just a matter of indulging some material desire, but actually it becomes very sacred. As sacred as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Cannot be more sacred than that. Yes. So, all these things, sacred activities, have to be performed Guru Vrittiya, the Kalpana, under the direction of the spiritual master. There's no question of independence, whimsicalness, like that. But under the direction of the spiritual master, then it becomes part of the process of purification, part of the process of gradual advancement, and
in this way an important part of the sanctified lives of the aspiring devotees. Any comments or questions? Prabhupada ki jai.